Chapter 28. The Cabrini Green tenement Sheila lived in had seen better days, but it had seen worse, too. The city had dumped a lot of money into urban renewal projects there, and it was an ongoing process. Sheila's building was still undergoing renovation, and the lobby and many of the floors were only half finished. No workmen were in the building when I went into the lobby, but there were dozens of tarps, stacks of drywall and raw lumber, heavy tool lockers that had been bolted to the floor, and other evidence of the contractors who would doubtless have been working had the city's lights not been out. I walked over to the elevators and to the security panel there and found the button of Sheila's apartment on the 9th floor. I pressed it and held it down for a minute before I realized that, duh, the power was out and I wasn't going to be able to ring her apartment. I grimaced and looked around for the stairs. 9 flights up on my leg wasn't going to feel nice, but it wasn't as though I had an infinite number of options. The door to the stairs was locked, but it was a standard fire door with a push bar on the other side. I lifted my staff, looked around the lobby to make sure no one had wandered in to see me, and then gestured with the staff and murmured, "Forzare." I sent a bare whisper of my power through the door and then drew it back toward me with a sharp gesture. I caught the push bar on the other side with it, and the door trembled and then swung open by an inch or two. I thrust the end of my staff into it to hold it open, then grabbed it and heaved. I stared at the stairs for a second, but they didn't get any shorter or turn into an escalator or anything, so I sighed and started painfully hauling myself up them, one step at a time. 9 floors and 162 steps later, I paused to catch my breath, and then opened the door to the 9th floor hallway in the same manner I had the one in the lobby. The 9th floor hallway was still under construction, and several of the apartments in it were missing doors and even walls. I limped along until I found Sheila's apartment and then knocked on the door. I felt a tingling tension over the door as I touched it, a magical ward of some kind. It was nowhere near as strong as the ones on my apartment had been, but it was stable. That was fairly impressive. Sheila might not have a ton of inborn talent, but she evidently had enough discipline to offset the lack. I held my hand out lightly, just over the surface of the door, sending my senses running over the ward, getting more of a feel for its strength. It couldn't have stopped me if I used my power to force my way in, but it felt strong enough to give me a solid kick in the teeth if I tried it physically. It would certainly scare the hell out of a would-be burglar. Not bad. After a minute, I heard footsteps and the door opened a little. I could see a security chain and a slender stripe of her face that included one of Sheila's dark, sparkling eyes. She let out a surprised little sound and then said, "Harry, just a minute." I waited while she shut the door and took off the security chain. Then she opened the door again, smiling at me. She had an infectious smile, and I found myself answering it with one of my own. She was dressed in a scarlet sequined bodice that made her chest into something very difficult not to stare at, nearly translucent baggy leggings, leather sandals that wrapped around her calves, and 6.5 million pounds of bangles on her arms and ankles. Her hair had been caught up in a high ponytail, fixed into place to rise over some kind of mesh headdress, and her smooth, bare shoulders looked lovely and strong.
"Hi," she said.
"Hi," I said back. "Is your roommate Sheila in, Jeannie?" She laughed.
"You caught me in the nick of time. I was just about to leave to get together with some people I know."
"Costume party?" I asked.
"No, I dress like this all the time."
Her eyes sparkled. "It is Halloween." "Even with the lights out?" She bobbed her brows, her smile wicked for a second. "Who knows? That might make it more fun." I had been right about the curves that had been hidden under her loose clothing back at Box. They were awfully pleasant ones. It was an effort of will to stay focused on her face, especially when she laughed. Her laugh made all sorts of interesting little quivers run over her. "Do you have a minute?" I asked.
"Maybe even two," she said. "What did you have in mind?"
"I need your help with something," I said. I looked up and down the hallway. As far as I knew, I hadn't been followed, and I'd been watching my back, but that didn't mean that no one was there. I was pretty good at noticing such things, but there were plenty of people and non-people who were better than me. If you don't mind, can we talk about it inside? Her expression became a little wary, and she looked up and down the hall herself. Are you in trouble? Is this about the people at the store? Pretty much, I said. May I come in? Of course, she said, and stepped back inside, holding the door open for me. I limped in. Oh, my God, she said, staring at me as I came in. What happened? A ghoul threw a knife into my leg, I told her. She blinked at me. You mean a real ghoul? An actual ghoul? Yeah. Her face twisted up with dismay. Oh, wow. I've heard stories, but I never thought. You know, it's hard to believe they're really out there. Does that make me an idiot? No, I said. It makes you lucky. If I never see another ghoul, it'll be too soon. Her apartment was pretty typical of the kind. Small, worn, run down, but clean. She had mostly second-hand furniture, an ancient old fridge, mismatched bookshelves that overflowed with paperbacks and textbooks, and a tiny aged television that looked as if it didn't get much use. Sit down, she said, picking up a couple of blankets and a throw pillow from the couch, clearing off a space for me. I tottered over to the couch and sat, which felt entirely too good. I grunted and got my leg elevated onto the coffee table, and it felt even better. Thanks, I said. She shook her head, staring at me. You look frightful. Been a tough couple of days. She studied me with serious eyes. I suppose it must have been. What are you doing here? The book, I said. The one on the Earl King that I got from Bach. I remember, she said. Exactly. What? That's why I'm here, I said.